Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the talk show Uplifting Communities with John and Ms. J.
Hey!
And hey. I tell you, we got a show for you guys today, and I want you to just kick back and listen because this is some very, very good information that's fixing to get in your ears right about now. But before we go any further, I would like to ask Ms. J if she wouldn't mind taking the pleasure on bringing our special guest on.
Absolutely. First of all, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us. And just remember, if you're listening by phone and you want to join the conversation, all you have to do is select one and you'll be added to our queue. So thank you for joining us. This is a great topic. Ms. LaVon has been on here once before. When she was, you know, getting started, I believe it's been many years ago. But we brought her back because this is an important topic. Things are changing. She has an event, I believe, coming up or has came up. And we just want to talk about the environment. This is a subject that it affects our community, but we don't discuss it a lot. So we're going to have a great time together. But before we get started, Ms. LaVon Stone, please tell the audience a little bit about you, sweetheart, before we get started.
All right. Okay, I'm the executive director of the Fort Ord Environmental Justice Network, and we've been in operation for many years. This is a military base here in Monterey, California, and it's called Fort Ord. And we formed this organization to be a voice between the community, the government agencies, contractors, developers, you name it. And the base closed in 1994, and I was an employee on the base. I was a government employee, and because I wanted to find out what was happening here, I went to all the meetings as much as I could, and, of course, I was finally fired because of the information that I was finding out about what was going to happen to people once this base closed. So
let's talk about some of the different environmental issues that you have tackled and that affect the community that people may not know about.
Okay. Just on yesterday, we had a forum called the Top Community Toxic Air Forum. The United States Environmental Protection Agency from the Toxic Air Division and with the Monterey County Chief, Mr. Stedman from the Monterey County Air Pollution Control District. We also had people from the California State Air Board who also attended the forum, as well as Ms. Steen, who is an engineer. She's a woman engineer who came down to take part in the forum, and also a Laura Rosenberger, and she does a lot of research with a portable air monitor, and they were all here to join us in our community for this very important subject. And the reason why we put this forum on, because we have what they call prescribed burns, which means they decide that there may be something in the ground left behind by the military, and so they want to burn hundreds of acres, but they use a derivative of napalm, which is called alumigel, to help to start the fire and make it burn faster. And they also use fire retardant around the areas to be burned because they said that will keep the fire from jumping the perimeter. But the fire has jumped the perimeter every time that I know about we've had a burn. And so this smoke is very toxic, and it's black, and there are schools on this base, grade schools, middle schools, a high school, and now we have a university called CS, California State University, Monterey Bay. The water is not clean, has not been good to drink. We have a 150-acre landfill where all sorts of things are buried there, and we have lead in our soil from the paint they used to put on these barracks, old barrack buildings, and we have big three-story barrack buildings that are still here that is going to be demolished, and that's going to put Sutton and asbestos and whatever else is in these buildings in the air, and we'll have to breathe it. And the county itself has prescribed burns, which means they use gasoline and diesel fuel to set those fires, and we have to breathe that smoke, and they said it's to burn off vegetation or whatever it is. And we also have a lot of pesticides because this is an ag community. So there is a lot of concern about what is happening in the air we breathe. We have loads of respiratory illnesses, kids with asthma, parents, teachers, you name it. And that's why we put this particular forum on this time.
Wow.
Now,
you know, I want to ask you.
I'm sorry, John, just real quickie on the fallback on my
question. No, you go ahead, Ms. J, because I was fixing to ask the same thing. Go for it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I just want to know, I know you're talking about basically right down that particular base, but does that happen across the country in other just neighborhoods everywhere that people are living on deadly soil?
Yes, this happens all across the country. Camp Lejeune had this water issue that was causing cancer in people. And, of course, you know Flint, Michigan, what happened there in that community, and mostly African-American community or poor community or whatever you call it. And I found out from a video that was sent to me that most of these things are not by accident, that most of it takes place in low-income communities and African-American communities because the information is not readily available to those people. And it's because they are used a lot of times for experimentation processes. Like we had a spraying here one time for a light brown apple moth, and we don't. It's mostly something that happens in grape growing communities. We don't grow grapes here. We grow other things, but not grapes. But we found out from the Environmental Protection Agency that it was an experimental process that was signed off on by somebody they said was new to the agency, and they called it the Seaside Experiment of that document. So a lot of these things that are happening around the country that people are not aware of is because they are all caught up in different things in their lives, and they're not really searching for the things that are going to impact their health. Without our health, we can't do nothing. And people know that illnesses don't come from nowhere. They come from somewhere.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, and it's sad. You know, a lot of people, you know, that's moving and buying homes and on these vacant lots. And that's what my concern is. You know, like, you know, they're building all them homes all around the United States and way out.
Yes.
And there's a possibility that they've been dumping toxic.
That's right. They build them on landfills. We have this stuff called vapor intrusion that comes up from the earth. And even in rentals, this vapor intrusion, these vapors can come up, and they are very dangerous. And they cause cancer and other illnesses, birth defects and everything. And nobody is really talking about these things. They have tests for vapor intrusion, but you have to find out about it. You have to buy the kit and all that kind of stuff. And people just say, a lot of them say, well, our government would not do this to us. It's not that they're doing it to us. It's being signed off on by somebody because somebody else has a dream. Somebody else want to pack their pockets with money, so they get an okay from the local community or for the people in the seats of responsibility to go head on and act at building or city or whatever, and they all will say is to create jobs. Well, here the only jobs that are being created are for the people that they're bringing into our community. Good jobs. You know, the fast food restaurants and stuff like that, they're maxed out, but the good jobs are given to people that they're bringing with their projects.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is so scandalous.
Yes,
well,
it is.
Yeah.
Really
scandalous.
Yes.
So you're saying like Silicon Valley. Is Silicon Valley, is that a threat? I mean, is that project a threat to the communities?
The reason being is that this big mega Apple plant or Apple City, they have put people out of their homes and businesses so they can build this big mega city from Apple in Silicon Valley. Those people are coming. They have built these big houses on Fort Ord, even near the landfills, all out in East Garrison where there was training and stuff, starting at $500,000 and up. Now we got houses they're building for $800,000. This is on a contaminated military base. They got people from Silicon Valley coming in here with money, cash money, to buy these houses. They don't know anything about them. They don't know anything about this area, and they're buying these houses. I constantly get people sometimes that will call in and ask, do we know anything about the property, and should they invest or buy them? I said, well, you know, you take your chances. I said, you better read that lease. I just got a copy of a lease, and you have to go through the fine writings and see all the stuff you have to sign off on and what can possibly happen when you buy this stuff. And I guarantee you that most of these people don't even read this stuff. And I got something right now on my that was sent to me in an email because they wanted me to see what people are signing off on. And it was sent by a man that was really concerned that people was not receiving the information. And he was also at the event yesterday. So right now I don't have it in front of me. I was trying to see if I could find it because his name was Alan. Let me see here. I'm going to put it in here and find it.
Well, while you're looking for it, you know, we have a lot of gentrification going on where, you know, people are, you know, like even in Los Angeles, like Highland Park used to be a very prominent black neighborhood where now you have a lot of Caucasians moving back there and they're not accustomed to how, you know, the black folks live there. You know, they don't want to play in basketball outside. You know, we got people in San Francisco calling the police on little girls selling water. In Oakland, you know, they're taking over Oakland the same way where they call the police on somebody having a barbecue. You know, so, you know, not only, you know, when we talk about the environment, but it also it changes the element of where people live as well because when you come into a community that's already established, you can't change the rule.
And, you know, we have a lot of gentrification here. The African American community, for the most part, because of the loss of jobs and careers and housing, they have been pushed out of the community. They never lowered the rent or the housing prices, and the jobs just went away because most of them work here at this a huge base, which is part of the community. This base is as big as the city of San Francisco in acreage. And there was over 30,000 soldiers and their families living here. And the families of those soldiers, the black families, were mostly in Seaside. They were not even permitted to buy housing outside of the city called Seaside. In a lawsuit, they had to put up a lawsuit just to be able to do so. And we still got some of the older people here that know about that lawsuit. So it's really terrible. We talk about the gentrification. We got documents on it. we're less than 3% on this entire peninsula now.
Now, yeah. What people should, Ms. Stone, what people should look for, you know, if they think that they're living on a contaminated property, what they should look for? What is the symptoms? You know, because nobody knows, you know.
They probably should go to the property office where they pay their property taxes and get a document concerning the area that they live on. And they need to talk to their city officials and go to the city halls and let them know that they're concerned. Because here, one lady, she had a couple of dogs, and they kept getting sick when they were outside. And she had a nice home. It was a nice hilly area. And next thing you know, her dog died. And then some other people start finding things, and they had the state people to come down. And this lady called me up and told me to go to the meeting. And I'm like, why do I need to go to the meeting over there in Marina? And she said, please, I'm working. So I went to the meeting. They had about 10 people from the state sitting there. And this man was talking about there's 46 landfills in Monterey County. And I'm like, 46? And the people that was living in some of those houses, they were sitting there, and the man was telling them, well, we're going to have to see how much you all going to have to be charged if you want to clean up that land under your housing. I said, excuse me, why shouldn't it be in the Superfund program? They claim that the Superfund program is where the money would come through to help with the cleanup, like on Fort Ord. And why should these people have to do something different and be charged for cleaning up their own property? And the man said, well, we're going to have, you can walk around and talk to the people that came down from the state. I said, I think this should be an open meeting, and we should all hear what's going to be done. And so he said, well, okay, I guess we'll have to change it to an open meeting and that kind of stuff. Still don't know what has happened with all those landfills, and we didn't even know they had them, because on Fort Ord, we have a 150-acre landfill that had been consolidated, and the housing on the other side, they burned those housing down. We didn't even know they were going to burn the housing down. And when we asked them why, they said it's because roots was growing up through the bottom. what did they say? Branches was coming in from the roof of the housing, and we found out no, it wasn't. It was the stuff seeping up through the floor of the housing from the landfill that it was built on. That's what it was. And so these type of things are going on everywhere, but people seem to be oblivious as to what is really happening to them. So they need to go and find out. People have to stop sleeping and wake up, use their brain and their mind, and don't think that somebody is going to take care of them, because that's not what they're in those jobs for. They're waiting for, most times it's after a catastrophe, then they will do something. But before that time, they'll say, oh, well, we only got one or two phone calls and those kinds of things, and they won't really do anything. But people have to push these agencies, push their elected officials all the way to the White House so they can be taken care of and their families can be taken care of. You don't put people in office and expect them to do what they're supposed to do unless you're involved. You have to stay involved.
This is true. It was when I lived in Georgia, Snailville, it was an area where no matter wherever they planted gardens or flowers, they would just always die. Brand new property. They kept saying, the lady kept trying to say, you should buy this property. I said, but nothing stays alive. I'm glad I didn't buy it. But come to find out, that land was contaminated, and they were selling homes over $400,000 on there. So all those people had loans that had processed and they had to, you know, that became a big deal. And I think that comes to not, like you say, you can't take people for their word, especially when you're buying property. No. That's an investment. So you have a responsibility to yourself to protect your money. And you have the right to go down to the planning city and the planning office of the city, check that land, make sure what was under it. I know when I was doing real estate, they were building houses on graves, cemeteries. And
yeah.
These people, so you really have to really pay attention to what's underneath you.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
You are absolutely right. You are absolutely right.
I mean,
people need to listen. Go ahead.
Mm. Yeah, this is so much of an important show right here, you know. And, you know, what I'm trying to do is get everybody that's listening at the show is to let them know that, you know, they can do the same thing that you're doing is the same thing could be done in their communities, you know.
Yes.
Because we got people, I'm looking at the board right now, we got people from Louisiana, people from Florida, people from, from L.A., you know, what,
mm-hmm.
949.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, we got people all over the United States actually watching this, listening at this show, you know,
yeah.
From different states, and in this problem, you never know where you what you're living on. You know what I'm saying? And me myself, to be honest
right.
with you, Miss Dawn, I never really thought about it.
Yeah.
Like this house, you know that I just bought. I've been having this house here now since 2010, and every now and then, you know, I see grass, a little like grass fixing to start growing on my roof. So I go ahead on and I spray some chemicals on it to kill it. But, you know, and I'm,
Ooh, that's not good, John.
And I hear you say something, I heard you say something about somebody's, you know, about some grass was growing on somebody and they found out that it was chemicals underneath them or something. And this is a new division. And this is a new division where I'm at. Okay?
Yeah.
It was built, these houses was built in 1996, and that's fairly new for homes, you know? And no telling what they didn't put under here.
Yeah. That's right. Whether it's a landfill or a dump site or something, because when those gases come up from the ground, it's not just coming for nothing. It's something probably buried there, like in Preston Park. We have a burial site. It's where they put chemicals in barrels or whatever, and they bury them in the ground. And those chemicals were coming up through the soil, and it's called carbon tetrachloride. I think it's one of the chemicals, and it does not have, it kind of has kind of a sweet smell, they said, or either no smell, and that stuff is coming up from the ground, entering into your house or whatever, and the surrounding areas, and they had this big device that they put in a vacant house, that and they put big tubes down there that was supposed to be sucking up the material from the ground, some kind of milky substance that had never shown that it was affected at getting these chemicals out of the ground. I'm telling you, there's some stuff that people need to be aware of that's going
Absolutely.
On around them while they're having fun and looking at that big screen, 60-inch TV and all that kind of stuff. We went to this community when I was on this when I was a member of the Agency of Toxic Substance Disease Registry in Atlanta, Georgia, with the Center for Disease Control and the Board of Scientific Counselors. They would send a group of us to other communities. Now, we were just community folks, mind you. We were not employees. We were special consultants. And we went to this community, I think it was in Louisiana or something. They had a meeting in a church, a United Church of Christ. It was a big church, and these residents were there, and they were very angry, and I didn't blame them. This man was cussing like shows, and you could see big knots all over his arms, and he was talking about how they built these cute little houses for low-income people, and they bought those houses, and several of their neighbors had already died of cancer. He said he had cancer. He said his neighbor's 15-year-old daughter had died of cancer, and they were very upset. These kind of things, it should not be happening nowhere in our nation. We call this America, and it's happening mostly in African-American communities and low-income communities. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, people should be
upset.
And,
you know, in Texas, they were talking, you know, they had this big thing in Texas, because a lot of people, just everybody says, you know, when you think about chemicals, but chemicals can be oil.
Yes.
You know, it could be, you know, of course, improperly disposing of, you know, waste, chemical waste,
yes,
or solid waste.
Yes.
It could be leaking, yes, in pipes, hydraulic fracturing. It's a lot of ways that you can get sick. So just don't think about, oh, I don't live near Army Base, so I'm not near. No, seriously, because people like to generalize. Well, I don't live where,
yeah,
that could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not over there. It does not apply to me. But it is all kinds of ways that your property can be contaminated. So just because she's talking about, you know, a military base or, you know, different type of toxics, it could be anything, because you don't know what happened on that land before it became a place where they built homes or a subdivision or a neighborhood. You do not know what was on that land prior to that. And it is a fact, and you can Google it, anybody want to challenge it, that it is primary in poor African-American, black communities and places where the experiments are being, made, you know, testing things or sprays and stuff like that are actually happening in our communities. So we, you know, sometimes say, what is that smell? What's that smoke?
Yeah.
And nobody pay attention. We just keep walking out there shopping, doing our thing. Oh, that's just a bad car. Maybe that's car smell, you know, because, you know, from exhaust. It's a lot of things going on that we don't pay attention. And I know we got a lot to pay attention to. Please do not misunderstand me. I know we got a lot to pay attention to. But however, we can't fight for anything if we're dead. We can't fight for
until we
can't fight for black on black crime, better homes, you know, whatever it is. You know, we cannot do anything unless we are alive. So you got to be conscious of that. And you can't say, well, I ain't seen nothing in my neighborhood. You ain't seen it because you're not supposed to see it.
Yeah.
And that's the importance of this conversation, to investigate. Just check. If you don't find nothing, cool.
Yeah.
But what if you do find something?
Don't look at these natural houses and think, oh, well, oh, this is cute and all this kind of stuff. That's right. Investigate. Look into it. Find out what's happening. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to let the audience know you're listening at the Uplifting Communities Talk Show with Ms. Yvonne Stone. Okay, and if you guys want to say something or want to add something to this, please press 1. Or if you got concerns in your neighborhood and want to ask her a question, please press 1. We want to hear from you.
Absolutely. Well, Bonna, you mentioned a kit. How much do those kits cost if someone wanted to get just their own environmental kit to test their soil or something? You know, how does someone go about getting a kit?
Okay. Well, if for vapor intrusion, I had to call some group in New York who said that they could possibly get a number of kits and mail them to us where people wouldn't have to pay a lot of money for them, but I never could really get in touch with them to get those kits. And I know one is called, it's called vapor intrusion, I know that. And it might not be the name of the kit, but the stuff that's come up from the ground is called vapor intrusion. They found out from one of the stores here, when they started doing stores in the mall on part of this property, they found out that it had vapor intrusion coming up in the store where the workers were, and they had the state people and the EPA people had gotten together to say that they were going to see about cleaning up the vapor intrusion that was in the water up under the building, and that if they said that the percentage was higher, right, wait a minute, if the percentage was lower, then they could clean it up in 5 years, but if the percentage was higher, that they could clean it up in 3 years.
So what are you saying is that, let's say somebody going to buy a house. Let's say, for example, me, before I bought this house, I could have went bought a kit. I could have went bought a kit and test the soil to see if it was contaminated.
They got some soil testing coming up in the house,
I'm looking at a few right now. So they got quite a few different soil tests, soil and water testing kits.
And we use them like crazy because we don't even know. We called Virginia and talked to the people who had tested the water in Flint, Michigan, and we've been trying to get them to send us some of those water testing kits where it's not just you just dip a strip in something, but the kits that they tested their water with, and the man told me he had to talk to his boss, and then I got a call from L.A. from this community where they had houses built where it was contaminated, a gas station and all that. This man sent me a lot of information. He said the kids from the school were getting cancer. Some of the people that worked at the school were getting cancer, and he asked me to work with them. So I called Flint, Michigan, and then they called them, and we've been going back and forth and trying to get these kits sent out. And as far as I know, they haven't even been sent yet. But we're working with people across the country as well as our community on all types of different kinds of toxins and pollution, the climate change stuff that they're talking about, the aluminum that's being sprayed out of the sky to cool off the environment, that those particles can be let out of passenger planes as well as other planes. You don't need no special planes to release these aluminum particles that is changing our air and skyline and all of that. So there's a lot going on that people really need to get into and find out about and quit looking at as the world turns and all that kind of stuff.
Where would buy these kits from?
A lot of companies now I'm looking at online, John. It's a lot of different companies. Like they have a soil contamination kit for professional soil testers. They have like the companies that she's mentioned, but you can also Google, not to cut you off, Ms. LaVon, but you can Google, and there are different kits. They now some of them went up to over $1,000, but then they have some they get expensive, but you got some that for less than, you got some for $75, you got some for $40, you got some for $20. So I would suggest, so that not to put that pressure on her, that you Google it. All I did was Google toxic soil testing kits.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll put it on the Facebook page so some people can check it out for themselves, the website page. But you have to do your own homework. But they come in different prices. They offer different things. Some of them they're highly rated, like you can get the best results, the best test kits. And, of course, the better the kit, the better the kit, the more the money. But they are available where they're reasonable. They got some for $32. Soil kit, $32 for a soil kit, a rapid premium soil test, a kit for lawn, flowers, dirt, whatever. That one's $32. You got a water one, electric soil testing, like you test to see if you got some electronic in your ground. Like she says, you don't know what was on your soil. And those electronic kits are like $30 to $40. So you have different types. But I do strongly suggest, and I'll post this page, and you guys can do your own thing on it. But the kits are not going to break you. Even if you get one, I mean, I think we spend maybe $100 when we go out these days. So if you take $100 just to test your soil and find out nothing's wrong, that's a win-win to me. Because when you go out, you can't get that money back either. But if you test your soil, you can save your life. and be able to go out again.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah,
and
that makes
you know,
a whole lot of sense.
With these air purifiers, now they say they got air monitors, but we've already talked to the air district, and it depends on what the air monitor is, how far they're how far they are, and how close they are to the pollutants in the air. So now there is a purple air monitor, which is a movable one you can walk around with. Air monitor, you have to hook it up to a portable computer, but now we're being told that we should be getting one donated from, you know, the air district or whatever, and we have never gotten nothing in all these years. But I said, well, that's something at least, and it's kind of expensive, but it's not nearly expensive as what people are breathing when they have to go and pay their own medical bills for lung problems. And most of the time when your lungs get messed up, they're messed up. So we got to do something ourselves to let these people know that we are serious, huh?
What about people living around plants and stuff? You know, they got a lot of, like, oil refineries and plants and they be releasing stuff in the air and dumping stuff on the soil. And what about those people? Do you think they should be very concerned?
Well, those people, yes, they should. They should be in mass protesting all the time, every day. The chemtrails, that's what I was talking about, the aluminum particles, yes. And there's a book called Death in the Air. Yes. And a friend of mine has this book here called Globalism, Terrorism, Warfare.
Answer this question, Ms. Stone. Have any of the other agencies, like federal government agencies, tried to ever fight you to not give out this information?
Well, then what they're doing is they won't give us grants. Well, I was talking about that yesterday. We're doing this with no grants, no donations. We are doing this because people in our community are being paid not to work with us. The Hispanic community is divided from the African American community, and they use the quota system here. And I guess you know what that is, where you get one group and you make sure they get finances and stuff. And then if you are a race of people, say African American, for instance, and you got something that you are concerned about, they'll tell you to go to them. They'll say, oh, you need to go to so-and-so, so-and-so. Then they won't have to be bothered with it. But all the other groups, they got all kind of community organizations and stuff that get grants. They're not telling them, oh, no, you go to this one group over here. All the other races, they're not doing that with here, but they're doing that with us.
Wow.
Yes.
The reason they're doing that with y'all is because y'all giving out information that they trying to keep a secret.
We have
somebody want to either ask you a question or say something. Let's let them on.
Okay.
Okay, John, why are you doing that? You know what else, too, John? They're going to want to pay.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, Tommy Cole, Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Hey, Tommy.
Hello, everybody. How's everyone?
Oh, everybody's fine.
Okay.
Good. Hey, Mr. Brown and Mrs. J, boy, I like to always commend you guys for the great work that you're doing. You bring folks on that open our minds and our hearts to some of the things that are going on. But I'd like to thank your guest there because, you know, she has a very powerful job. I mean, you have to be concerned about as well as yourself to do what you do. So I commend you for that too.
Yes.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, also, too, And also, too, hey, I live here in Lake Charles, Louisiana. We're surrounded by refineries. And I heard you say that you can protest and protest every day. And, we have protested and argued and all those things. And these folks are buying folks' homes down and stuff like that to build other refineries as well. And man, when you look at it, it's a political issue. You're fighting against those who have the power, who have the funds, and man, it seems like even though we're trying our hardest to get these things the pollution out of everything to make these things better. Well, it seems like that political world always jumps in the way. They always changing either this or that, and it makes it hard. And also, too, even in the 90s, they were trying to find places to bury these toxic barrels. People stood together here, so they couldn't do it. But what the government do? They go around and get folks with the privately owned lands and properties, and they bury those things there. And for sure enough, when you buy in those areas like that, I think it would be pretty wise, you're going to check the land because many of them has been and all kind of toxic dirt there.
Yes.
And I think that's what she's saying, Dave. That's what she's saying. They'll go ahead on and bury their toxin on these private land. Then later on, the landowners sell it to the builders, and then the builders put apartment buildings on it or build homes on it.
Right.
That toxic doesn't stay in one place. As it gets old, it loses the ability and composure, so it starts spreading throughout that area. It leaves that area, start going to other areas, and that's what people need to understand too. It doesn't stay just in that one area. It starts contaminating everything around it.
Yeah. Another thing y'all may not know is these nuclear toxins, they put them in concrete blocks, and they bury them in the ground in these concrete blocks. And I asked them at one of the meetings we had, I said, what happens if we have an earthquake? If there's earthquakes and that stuff is buried how many feet in the ground, 100 feet or something in the ground, and they're in these concrete blocks, it's going to explode or whatever, and the stuff's going to come out. What are we supposed to do then? And then it was quiet all around. Nobody's answered that question yet.
Right. Well, this has been a really, really good talk show, but everything has to come to an end. We only have 2 minutes left on the show, so I'm asking Ms. J to start closing us out.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you, Tommy, for calling in, and thank you, Ms. LeBron, for coming on and having this informative conversation, because we have so many things going on in our community that we, some things we just pass, our plates are full, and we don't get to talk about certain issues. So we appreciate you coming in and talking about this issue. If you had something positive before we close out to say to the audience, what would that be regarding, the environment and waste and so forth?
I would say, pay attention. This is what's happening in the environment is not just for what you call environmentalists and the Sierra Club and all that, because they have already said that they forgot about the people in their programs. And environmental justice is about balancing the needs of the people with the care of the environment. So you need to be able to think about what is happening, read, listen to the news when they're talking about different things, get involved. Just get involved. It's for your own well-being and the well-being of generations to come, your kids and all of that. Just get involved and get some knowledge and please stay on top of it because this is about your health.
That's right.
Absolutely. And John L. Brown, sir.
Okay, I want to thank Miss Dawn for coming on the show today and thank everybody that joined us and thank you, Tommy, for calling in. And with that said, back to you, Ms. J.
Yeah, again, we really appreciate it. We try to bring stuff that is not normally talked about, that or things that need to be talked about. So we hope that the information is helpful. I will post, like always, I'll post somewhere you can get your home kit to check, you know, so you can check it out, do your own due diligence. But we appreciate you, and like John said, we thank everybody for always joining us. We really do appreciate it. And with that said, you guys have a blessed evening, and peace and blessings, and good night.
Good night, everybody.